Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics. I want to welcome you to a special edition of our weekly podcast. Our apologies for being a little bit tardy on the one last week, but the schedule got the better of us. Today we would like to look at the ODAC basketball tournament coming up just around the corner. And so today during the podcast, I'll be joined by our two basketball coaches. First of all, Kirby Dean, coach of the men's team, and then that will be followed up by Kevin Griffin, coach of the women's team. And so we'll take a look at where we stand just to catch you up on things. If you haven't looked at the webpage recently, men just came off a big win against rival Bridgewater College, 80-75 on Wednesday. And it was a big win for the team and started to set things up in place. They have one more game to go against Emory and Henry on Saturday evening. And then the first round of the tournament starts on Tuesday, and our men will be hosting someone. We think it will be Emory and Henry, but I guess some of that depends on the results of Saturday. So we'll open up with a home game on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. And I just want to make sure everyone is aware of the fact that that is an ODAC game, not an EMU game. So everyone, adults, will be charged $5 for the game. And there is no pass list accepted, and there are no EMU ID passes, et cetera, listed. All college students and younger get in free. So that will be 7 o'clock here in Yoder Arena, and we look forward to that. The winner of that game, it's the number 5 seed versus the number 12, and the winner of that game is going to go down to Salem for the quarterfinals. Coach, as we look at it, certainly a big win on Wednesday night with Bridgewater, both from a momentum standpoint, as well as just, as the paper said, and as you pointed out, 10 of the last wins over Bridgewater. Make a comment or two about Wednesday's game and how important it was to get you ready to go into the tournament.
Well, I think, you know, I expected that game to be a real dogfight. Bridgewater is battling for seeding, and they're trying to secure a home game in the first round. And it's a rivalry game, and it was senior night, and senior night's, you know, even more emphasized when you have seven seniors like they did. And those are seven seniors that honestly haven't had a lot of success against us. You had mentioned the 10 out of the last 11. So I told our kids, you're going to get their best shot. I mean, they're going to play as hard as they can play with as much passion as they have, and as much effort as they can bring to the table. And if you don't match that, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. And I thought our kids did a nice job. I think getting out of there with a win, irregardless of the score, was, I think, the only important thing was finding a way to win, and that's what we did.
Well, I would say it did appear. It was interesting you mentioned about the passion they play with. I would say it looked like Bridgewater played with passion, but we were able to keep them at that 9-10 mark the whole time, and they never really made an outstanding run of some sort. Certainly they gave it their best shot. I'm not faulting that at all. It wasn't until the end when they did come back and went into that lead for the first time, and I would agree with you that being able to find a way to hold on and win some key shots, has that been part of the sort of mantra of this team, the confidence level boosting up, that they can take that shot, the opponent's shot, and then still come down, run the offense, and make the shot?
I mean, it seems like we have played with confidence, especially in the second half of the season. You know, early on, we had four new starters. RJ was the only returner that started consistently last year. I think James might have started three or four games. So I don't know that there's another team in the ODAC that was breaking in four new starters. I don't know that there was another team in the ODAC that was bringing four freshmen off the bench and their first five guys off the bench. So we took some lumps early, and the other part of that equation was our schedule was brutal. I can't remember exact numbers, but outside of the ODAC, I think we played two or three other teams that had gone to the tournament last year, and a bunch of teams that have had great seasons. I mean, I think the team we played the first game of the year has won 21 straight games. And Mary Wash has got like 18, 19 wins, closing in on 20. So we took some lumps early, but the kids have hung in there and they've persevered. And I've probably grinded on this group as much as any group I've ever had. We didn't take a lot of days off. We didn't have days where we went light. I mean, I've really tried to continue to push them, which sometimes can be a bad thing. You know, you're rolling the dice when you do that. But we just really needed to get better because we weren't that good. And I feel like we've I feel like we're peaking at the right time, you know, so bad news for players in the future. We may grind a lot more. We may practice a lot more. We may go a little longer later in the season like we've done this year because it seems like we're playing good basketball.
Well, one of the things I do think, remember your conversations with the media early on in the season talked about your confidence that they would peak at the right time, and it seems like that's coming into it. Let's look ahead a little bit to the upcoming games. Emory and Henry tomorrow night, most likely Emory and Henry again on Tuesday night, 5 versus 12. How do you feel the guys are still hungry? How do the guys take that possibly playing two teams back-to-back plus also sort of the 5-12? How do you keep them edgy to make sure that they're getting to Salem?
Well, I think that Emory's helped us with that. They've helped us not lose our focus by watching what they've been doing. They've continued to get better. They've gotten a couple kids healthy that we did not play against the first time we played at their place. So I don't think I'll have any trouble making our kids understand that this is a dangerous game, and we're gonna have to come ready to play both times. You know, Emory's got a nice team. They've improved a lot as the year's gone on. So our guys, but I don't think I'm having any trouble with hunger. I think the other thing is our kids are confident. You know, beating Wesleyan at Wesleyan, beating Wesleyan's one thing. Beating them at Wesleyan is a whole different animal. And then beating Randolph-Macon, which I think is their only loss in like 20 games or something crazy like that. Obviously, I think our kids realize that, and then we've beaten Bridgewater and Randolph since then. I think our kids realize, hey, there's no one we can't beat. So if we put this thing together and the stars align, we got a real shot to make a run.
When you, I know you feel very confident about your own team and the way they're playing. Talk just a little bit about what you do see in the ODAC. I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to be tough, but we've had some people have looked at it and said everybody's kind of come down a little bit. Gilfer got beat recently, and we may not have as many high in the rankings there. Who are some of the favorites coming out besides the Royals?
Yeah, it's almost hard to evaluate our league because a lot of those teams in the middle to the lower half can jump up and bite the teams in the upper half, which is what you've seen happen. So it ultimately hurts the league in a sense because you don't have as many highly ranked teams. I mean, I would be shocked, and there's no way to quantify this, but I would be shocked if Macon, Wesleyan, and Guilford, and maybe even Lynchburg aren't, you know, top 50 teams. And we may be knocking on that door, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we got a really good team. We just happen to be a mediocre team in the ODAC, you know. But going into the tournament, I think obviously Macon has established themselves as the best team. I think that's been clear. And then I think you have three or four teams kind of in that middle ground who I won't say who they are at this point because who knows who's listening to this. I don't need to motivate anybody else. And then even the teams in the lower half, there's several teams in that group that if they were to get hot, you know, take a Roanoke, for example, you know, they beat Wesleyan, you know, and then they lost at Emory. But they have a very talented team. And if they could put things together and catch a couple breaks, they're a team that can make a run. I think there's a bunch of teams like that. So I think parity is the word for the day, to be honest with you. I think a lot of teams could win it, although I would say Macon's got to be the clear-cut favorite.
Well, and anything happens when you get to Salem, for sure. Final question, Coach, is buzz around town here, of course, is ESPN. What does that do to – sorry if you've been listening and you don't know that, but on one round, EMU made number 9 on a dunk by David Falk out of last Saturday's game, number 9 in the top 10, and then later on in ESPNU, it was number 5. I know you were instrumental in trying to help us get that out there. I've talked to the enrollment and the marketing people and said I think that they need to give us a few funds because we did more in 5 seconds for the university maybe. Is that how you see it too, or how has David responded to it in the team?
Honestly, initially I didn't think about it in an enrollment and a marketing standpoint, but then Coach Brooks from JMU called me the next day and said, man, I cannot believe what I saw on TV. He said, have you called your marketing people to get the bonus check that you should be getting because you just did more for them in 30 seconds than they could do in a whole year of advertising? So it's been a really good thing for us. Obviously, anytime you can get your brand out there, I think it's good. And it's helped us in recruiting. I'm already seeing some kickback on that. I mean, we've been out the last couple nights, and a couple of the kids I've just said, did you happen to see? And they're like, yes. And, you know, as nobody has said, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Everybody has seen it. So once that stuff hits social media and, you know, Twitter and all that kind of stuff, It's hard for somebody not to see it. So I think it's definitely paying dividends.
Well, the early numbers I saw even last week after it was out was at least on the EMU Facebook page that James put it on, 18,000 plus hits on the one and 12,000 on the other dunk. So, no, don't worry. I've talked to Luke Hartman already, and I've asked him for a piece of that pie. So, Coach, thanks very much for joining us. Best of luck this as you go into the tournament. Always creating excitement. Please encourage you to come out to the game on Saturday night, tomorrow night, as well as Tuesday night, and then hopefully we'll all make the trip down there to Salem as well. So best wishes to you. Thanks for joining us today, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to transition at this point to go to the women's side of things and ask Coach Kevin Griffin to join us and talk a little bit about the women's side of the tournament. Coach, coming off a Wednesday night win at Shenandoah, which anytime you go into somebody else's joint to play is not always an easy one, but it did secure the number one spot, which probably makes you maybe breathe a little bit easier about Lynchburg coming up, which is the number two team right now. Have them tomorrow to close out the season. I think everybody had that on their calendar as being the one that sort of determined it at the end. And things have fallen your way, played very hard in there. Talk about how the attitude of the team was coming back from Shenandoah, knowing you're number one. What does that mean? How do you approach that of going into the tournament number one? Just to clarify, number one, two, three, and four seeds do not have the play-in game on Tuesday. So Coach gets to rest his women after Saturday as much as he wants to, and then gets ready for Thursday at 1 o'clock in Salem. So how's the team responding to the number one?
We didn't even mention it. We just, you know, we celebrated like we would any other victory. We were excited. And we had talked as coaches just that, you know, I think all the kids know it, but we didn't say it. We treated it just like any other game. You know, we were picked preseason number one. We feel blessed that we're still in that spot and fortunate. But we just want to, you know, tomorrow's another game. And so we're going to just keep with the same routine that we've been doing. And now it's over and it's a new day and let's move on. And regardless of if we're number one tomorrow or not, we're going to try to come and give a great effort.
It appears that over the last couple of weeks, it's been a different person each time stepping up. Sometimes I can think up there, Kayla Baltimore had a big – I didn't get to see the game, so I didn't know you know, whether she shot the ball well, drove the ball well, but it seems to be there. Once in a while, you go Shaq underneath. Seems like there's different people coming up. Are they finding some rhythm and balance and comfortableness that – are they able to hit the hot person at that point, or what's been part of the success here in the last couple of weeks?
I think you just hit the key. You know, the key for us has been that it has been somebody different in a lot of different nights. Bianca's been pretty steady start to finish. You pretty well know what you're going to get with her. And then everybody else is just whoever's feeling it that night. You know, Kayla had a good night the other night penetrating and was able to get to the bucket, and it was just sort of early in the game. We felt like she had some room to do that, so she did. You know, like you said, it's been, you know, sometimes it's been Jess, sometimes it's been Steph, sometimes it's been Shaq. And the great thing for them, and it was similar to last year, you know, is they're okay with it. There's no selfishness. There's no, hey, if somebody's having their night, then we're going to let them have their night.
Okay. Recently, it seemed about the last third of the season, Marlo Zumfeldi was really coming on as the outside shooting threat, and that opens things up for Shaq and Becky underneath there, and even Jess. She goes down with a knee injury. Has someone stepped up into that spot? Have you shifted things around? How did that impact your team of losing her as a three-point shooter here at the end of the season?
Well, it impacted us in two ways. One, we were emotionally and physically just – I mean, emotionally, we were sick because Marla missed all of last year. She's such a great kid. She's gotten really close to the kids on the team. We saw that the work that she put in, and it was paying dividends for her and for us. So, and then secondly, obviously, if you have a kid that's probably your best shooter and you know, was playing 20 minutes a game, well, what do you do now? So Jess has picked up some of those minutes. Alicia Garza's had to assume some of those minutes. We're trying to get Chanel Shands, who was really hurt in the first semester, some of those minutes. And then when Jess has had to step out and play the guard position, Nora's taken some more minutes in the post, and Nora's done a real nice job for us. So it's just sort of a piecemeal effort. No one person is going to be able to replace what she did, and we're saddened by it, and yet the season doesn't stop. You got to move on, and they've handled it well.
Good. You've played with the bullseye on your back the whole year because you were picked preseason number one. Some people talk about going into a tournament like we're going into with a lot of pressure because you don't want to lose on the first round out kind of thing and all that sort of stuff. But has taken forcing you to take everybody's best shot, is that a good preparation for what you're going to face when you get down to Salem?
I hope so. You know, we don't talk very much about winning. We just try to, you know, we talk about effort and about playing the right way. And then hopefully the winning piece is a byproduct of that. And I would agree. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of nights when people have played really well against us. And I get it. I would want that too, you know. So I hope that it pays off on Thursday. But it's basketball and it's one game and you just don't know. And you don't know how somebody's going to shoot and who's going to get in foul trouble. And there's so many unknowns that you can't control. And so we just have to try to control the things that we can control, our emotions and our effort and just some details. And then whatever happens, happens.
Well, take a little look at the certainly, as you know, going in number one, you're on everybody's radar screen. What else have you seen in the league? Who else is either peaking at this time? Certainly a victory tomorrow against Lynchburg would be give you the momentum going in. If Lynchburg happens to beat you, they got some momentum going in. You can say all those theories are out there about that. What do you see for Salem down there? Who's playing really well right now? Who's got a chance to knock somebody off and maybe come up around the top of the be standing there on Sunday?
I don't want to pick anybody and leave anybody out, right. But I mean, you know, just this week, Hollins gets a win. I think they're in last place. Emory and Henry wins two games. They're in second to last place, 10th. Every coach that I've talked to this year, Kirby was just mentioning it with the guys' side, there's so much parity. Every coach feels like there's not going to be a surprise. If someone beats somebody, we're not going to all look around and be shocked. We're in first, but we're not in first because we've blown everybody out. We're in first because on a consistent basis, we've done it on certain nights, I guess just a little bit more than other people. But honestly, it's, you know, there's been a lot of close games all across the board. And some of them, you just sort of sit there and by the end of the season, you're not scratching your head because anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, well, certainly has a little bit of your kids coming back. You were in the championship game last year, so they've played down there. It is a larger arena. And like you say, you never know how they play there. But it has been. There have been some upsets here towards the end, and you're never quite sure about that. Final thought, I know that you shared with me a little bit ago about one of the devotionals that one of your kids had beforehand. Before one of the games or practices, has the team really started to gel? Did Marla's injury help with that kind of thing? You've got a diverse group of people out there. Are they able to come together over basketball? Talk a little bit about the chemistry that that this team is developing individually. Naturally, there's probably kids that would like to play more, et cetera. You sort of alluded to it, but maybe expand on that. Are they really starting to accept their role, and is there a chemistry there that maybe might really be one of the keys to taking you on through to Sunday?
Yeah, I think the big thing is they genuinely like each other. I'm not saying there's not moments when you spend 3 hours a day for 6 months with each other that, you know, you don't get on each other's nerves. But I think they're an unselfish group. I think they genuinely do care about each other. I do think it's a diverse group, and they have met each other at their differences and been okay with it. I think the way that we play is the same way that they are off the court. I think we have individual personalities, there's no question, but the fact that when we walk on the floor, we care about each other, that we share the basketball, I think that's how they live. I think when they go eat, they're that way. I think when we ride on the bus, they're that way. I think, again, are there stronger personalities? Sure. And in a family situation, you know, families sometimes have friction, but I can't be more pleased and can't tell you how much of a relief of it is as a coach that I haven't had to preach, hey, you need to get along, you need to get along. They have done it. They've bought into it. They have cared and shared for each other, and that's been a real, real blessing for me as a coach.
Well, I would say standing on the outside looking in, I'd say it's pretty obvious that way. Now, I'm a little bit closer than the average spectator out there seeing them come to practice and stuff, but I'd sort of say the same thing, that it feels like they really do have each other's back when it comes to the court. And I think that's the secret. And it's the thing I've been saying all along about, we just had past couple of weeks, we've had a couple of other kids who have decided about halfway through their college career that they're just worn out and they don't want to play anymore. And I'm just saying, boy, they're really missing the best opportunity opportunity. And I think the best opportunity for growth and development is those junior and senior years. And you've got some of those kids there because they learn how to take something that's totally outside of their normal realm and somehow come together as a group and do that. So congratulations, Coach, on a great season. I know the credit goes to the kids and the way they've played, but they certainly have responded to you and your coaching staff and the way you've laid it out. I know you worry a lot about what happens from day to day, but hopefully we can all take a look at the big picture. So thanks for joining us today. Once again, just a recap, make sure you're checking our web pages out for what's going on. Final home games this Saturday against the women against Lynchburg at 2 o'clock, men against Emory and Henry at 7 o'clock. And then the men open up the ODAC tournament play-in game on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Women will be in action at Salem Civic Center on Thursday at 1 o'clock. If the men win the play-in game, they would play on Friday at 3. All of that will be posted. You have plenty of time to look at that. Also, pay close attention to men's volleyball is headed out here in a little bit to go up to two conference matches at Juniata and Teal over the weekend. And baseball opens up this weekend here at home. So stay tuned to what's going on. James will have as much up there as he can, as quick as he can. Certainly exciting time as we go. And thanks for joining us this week. Until we talk again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.